Hi, and welcome to Five Compelling Questions with Sean. This is the podcast where we speak with writers about writing. I'm thrilled to have my guest today, Jackie Layton. How you doing, Jackie?
I'm good. Thanks for having me, Sean.
Yeah, it's always a joy to see you. You're so fun, and I love your books. I am your editor, full disclosure. Jackie Layton is the author of Cozy Mysteries with a Spunky Southern with Spunky Southern Sleuth. Her stories are set in Texas, Georgia, and South Carolina. She lives on the South. On the coast of South Carolina, so you're trying to twist me up with these descriptions, where she enjoys walks on the beach and golf cart rides around the marsh. Reading, gardening, and traveling are some of her favorite hobbies, and that some of those end up in your books, which I know. She always keeps a notebook handy to write down ideas for future stories, and be careful what you say around her because it might just end up in a book. And that's what all mystery writers do. Don't make us mad, because we will take it out on you fictionally, right?
That's right.
So how are you doing today, Jackie? What are you here to you write multiple things. So what series, I mean, what are we working on today? It seems like you're always writing something new. What's going on? What are we talking about today?
Today, I'm talking about the Texas Far Farmers series. Weeding Out Lies is out now, and I am working on a clover-covered corpse. That's the real tongue twister. And that's coming out in May. And so Emma is going to solve her next murder mystery in that.
Yeah. And it's funny because I read your books and multiple other of our authors' books multiple times, and I'm still like, which series is this? They are distinctly different. You write two different series. I had just interviewed an author. We do three of hers series. So I always have to be like, are we at the beach doing gardening this time? Or are we at the Christmas shop? Or what, you know what I mean? Like, but they're all wonderful, but you guys try to trip me up all the time, and I'm here for it, but y'all are trying to trip me up all the time. So, well, you're a really good writer, and I love your books. They're a lot of fun.
You.
Yeah, Weeding Out Lies was good, and the second one is just as good, if not better. So we're
Oh,
on the right track. Yeah, it's really
thank
good.
you.
Okay, first question. You're writing all the time to get all these books published and done and submitted and all that stuff. How did your writing career get started?
I always wanted to write, but when my youngest son was in high school and I'm getting older, and I thought, if I don't ever try it, it's not going to happen. And so while he was in high school, because the older they get, the less they're at home. So that's when I really started writing. A friend of mine, Brandalyn Collins, said, you need to join groups. You need to get in a critique group, join national groups, and go to conferences. So I started doing that and taking online classes and started writing.
And so you were always inspired to do it. You just put it off to be a mom and all that stuff. But that's cool. That's very cool.
Yes. Thank you.
So how did you arrive at the premise for this series, for the Texas? How did you arrive? Yeah.
Well, I love working in the garden. Growing flowers has kind of been something both of my grandmothers and my mom and dad did, and so I kind of grew up around it. I even have some like iris bulbs that I've moved for like 20 years. Whenever I've moved, I've dug them up and moved with me. So I have some purple iris that have survived. Some of the other flowers did not, but so I think when they bloom, I think about my grandmother's. So it was easy to pick that career. I wanted something where she would have flexibility to chase down a killer. And then my youngest son moved to Texas in 2017, and I started making frequent trips down there and grew to really love the state and the people. And they live in Waco, which isn't really a small town, but some of the little towns around it are smaller. And I just grew to love the state.
Yeah, Waco is where I watch a lot of the Magnolia cable whatever show, the cooking shows, and they're there.
Yes.
So I'm always like, oh, that sounds fun. It sounds I don't know much about Texas, but I know that they are there. So
Yes.
I like Chip and Joanna.
They are fun, and they do so much for the community. You can just see their fingerprint all over town.
Yeah, they seem like they're good folks. Cool. Yeah, my grandma was in the gardening club. And I always thought that was so interesting. I'm more of like a like I want to eat it if I grow it, so I will grow food. But I didn't understand like flowers, and flowers are, but that's so nice that you connect flowers to your family, and that makes sense to me now. She would have her little friends over and they would do, you know, flower arranging and gardening together and stuff like that. So
Oh,
that's a
that's nice.
thing. Yeah, that's a thing people do. She was funny. Okay. She was an artist too. She loved beautiful things.
Oh, nice.
So number three, how do you develop the voices of your characters? Because you write very distinct voice characters, and you have multiple series happening at the same time. So do you keep like a Bible to remember what they are like, or what are your methods for creating that voice?
I do have big notebooks, lots of notes. I have computer files. I have Pinterest secret boards where I like so for Emma, I've got her secret board, and what does she wear? What are her favorite flowers, her favorite drinks? What does she drive? Because I mean, it's easy for me to get confused who's driving what, pets. So I keep the Pinterest boards, and then like I said, I have a big notebook full of notes and things to keep me fresh on how she's different. And usually once I kind of get started in that, you know, before I write a new story, I go through all that. And then it's like, okay, yeah, I'm ready now.
Cool. That's really, I do secret Pinterest boards too. I like, that's really cool that, that they have that option, because I throw ideas up in there, but I don't really want other people to know what I'm thinking about. But it's a nice, it's
Yes.
a really cool, as a writer, it's very, it's like a vision board, but it's online, of course. But it's very cool to go in there. You know, I haven't been in there in a while, but go up, see what I was thinking like a year ago. Like, oh yeah, that's a cool idea, you know.
Yeah,
That's,
yeah.
it's a fun app. I like that one.
I
All
do too.
right. Yeah, it's helpful for writers. Or anyone really, any creative thing or non-creative, I guess. You could go make a secret board about people you are talking. Oh, no, don't do that. That's not a good thing, but let's not do it for bad reasons. Okay. Number four, has anything you've ever written surprised you? Like, did you think you were heading in one direction and it ended up being a whole different thing, or anything like that? Has anything, you know, surprised you as it showed up on the page or didn't?
One book I started, and I was going to have a puppy mill and have the main character bust up the puppy mill. But it just made me so sad. And I thought, cozy mysteries, we don't need that much sadness. So I completely changed that story. And in Weeding Out Lies, the first person I had as the killer, as I got into it, I thought, you know, maybe this is too obvious. So I started thinking, okay, who is less obvious? And I worked to change that. And like when I have a big change like that, then I have to go back from page one and try to make sure it's consistent and makes sense in the end when I reveal the killers. So those are probably my two biggest surprises.
Yeah, that's, you always have to go back and weave through and make sure all the clues still make sense when you have a shift in killer or suspects or whatever. And sometimes you forget.
Yes.
That's a plot hole, and then you hopefully have a good editor that will show, that will say shouldn't be happening, but it was correct when you wrote it the first way, and then it just messes things. It's like pulling the thread on a sweater, and you have to, you know, it's a hot mess. Very good. Yes. Well, and as you say, it's funny because, you know, cozy mysteries, if you're still dealing with murder or crime essentially, but the way you have to present it, it's a certain formula that you have to present it in a way that you're not like upsetting readers, because they're not in it for that, or you know, it's not a thriller. So that's
Right.
interesting, you know. And then yeah, there's certain topics that are, you know, you just don't want to be reminded of, you're reading them to be cozy, to be comforted, you know, and to solve a puzzle and solve a crime, and but not to be horrified, because if life is horrifying enough already, which
Yeah.
is why you're reading it. Oh good, you do a good job with that. So fifth question, I was trying to be a little more profound. If you could tell your younger writing self anything, what would it be?
So I think the first thing I would have tell myself was start earlier. Don't be so scared to give it a try. I mean, I don't want to like re-question my entire life, but a lot of years I could think, oh, I really, you know, want to write, but you know, I guess I started at the right time. But I think I just would have tried to encourage myself to start earlier and don't be so scared. And then I had a one bed experience with an agent who acted like she wanted to sign me, and she kept trying to change my whole style. And she kept saying, well, you need to write like so-and-so. And so then she really messed in my head. And as I started trying to, you know, do what I thought she wanted. And then another agent, he looked at my stuff and said, you need to find your voice and then you'll get the story. And so I listened to him. And then after I kind of restarted my, you know, reshifted and got into my voice and what I wanted to do, then I found Dawn Dottle, and she was a wonderful agent to me.
Yeah, she was a wonderful agent, and we really miss her. Dawn passed away
Yes.
last year, and that was very sad. She really championed for you guys and for your genre, you know, for the cozy mystery genre. She just was sort of like the mother hen of that genre, you know. She was great. She was great to work with. I worked with her from the publisher side, but we were also good friends, and we would have dinner and stuff. And she was great. So it was a big loss. And still weird not to talk to her all the time. So yeah, but
Yes.
That was good that you found. That's good advice, because you found your person that believe in you, and it is a very subjective work that we do. It's just subjective, and so a person may have an opinion about something, and it's going to be a completely opposite opinion of someone else just because that's just what it is, you know. So, but staying true to your voice is the best advice to any writer. It's like, don't follow the trends. Don't try to guess what the next thing is. Unless it's something that you really 100% believe in, no one else is writing like you, because there's no possible way they could. You know, it's got to be your voice. So that's good. Good advice. Good advice. We'd all wish we had done. I wish I had started a business when I was 20. You know, we all wish that stuff. That's just natural. Why wasn't I super smart when I was 20 years old and figure everything out and invest in Apple? I should have done that too.
Oh, yes.
Bought some shares in Apple. That would have been good. All right. Number one. Oh, rapid fire quiz. Sorry. Number one, do you prefer reading standalone novels or series novels?
Series.
Okay.
I
good.
like,
You were
like
very.
seeing all the relationships develop. I like the series.
Yeah, then you seem gravitated towards that. Do you prefer reading books set in contemporary times or historical?
Contemporary.
Cool. Number three, do you prefer to write in the mornings or evenings?
I'll do better in the mornings or late at night, but afternoon is my dead zone. I have to do social media or something. I can't write in the afternoons.
Yeah, too distracting.
Yes.
You're not there for it. Yeah. It is distracting. It's very noisy in the middle of the day. I was just talking about this to somebody else. It's just constant stuff coming in on your phone and everything. Would you rather watch a movie or a TV show?
A TV show. And I think for the same reason I like cozies, I like to follow the characters along and see how they develop.
Yeah, TV's good right now. All right, last question. If you could have dinner with any author, living or dead, who would it be?
You know, I think Diane Mott Davidson, she is really kind of the author I started reading that shifted me from romance and thrillers and spy novels to cozy mysteries. It took me a long time to find her. And once I started reading her books, I was like, yes, this is my sweet spot. And so I'd like to have dinner with her.
Yeah, that sounds right. That you guys would have a good chat about all things cozy. It'll be great. Remind me of her. That's good. That's good. All right. So what are you working on now, and where can people find you and follow you?
So I'm on Facebook. I am I'm hosting some author takeovers for some different Facebook groups. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter, and I have, you can sign up for my newsletter and send that out at least once a month. I am getting ready for the second book in the Texas series to come out, and just trying to get ready for that.
Yep. And it's going to be good. Everyone needs to pre-order. It's a good continuation, and it's a great series, and we're happy to be working with you. So, well, great.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it was fun chatting with you. You're just lovely. It's nice to chat.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, I look forward to working with you on for going forward on many, many books.
Well,
So
thanks. I'm
yeah, thanks.
excited to be working with you.
Oh, same. Well, that's nice to hear. Well, it was great to see you. Get back to work. I'll talk to you later. Have a good day.
Okay. Thanks, you too, Sean. Thanks for
Bye.
having me.
First, bye.